Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me and you. He gave his life, what more could he give? Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me and you. Most gracious and most heavenly Father, it is in Jesus' name that we come on this morning, Father, to say thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercies. Father God, we come to bless you, Father God, for blessing us. Thank you, Father God, hallelujah, for watching over us as we slept and we slumber during the midnight hours. Father God, we say thank you for your divine protection. We say thank you, Father God, hallelujah, for sitting high and looking low. We say thank you for beating back every satanic agenda, plot, plan, scheme, ploy, and contract. Father God, we bless you, hallelujah, and we say thank you as we embrace the gifts of this brand new day that you have made, Father. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, your name is great, and your name is greatly to be praised. Hallelujah, we will bless the Lord at all times, and your praise will continually be in our mouths. Father God, we thank you for the life of Jesus Kingdom Ministries. We thank you for the longevity of this ministry. We thank you for the strength of Father God. We thank you for the willpower and the desire for us to get up every morning, Father God, hallelujah, and serve on your platform, Father, as we come to feed, as we come to be fed, as we come to hear from you, as we come to be encouraged. We thank you for making a way out of no way. We thank you for paying the bills, Father God, that the doors are open. Father God, we thank you for all of our listening audience around the globe. Father, we say thank you, Father, for every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. Father God, we say thank you that your word will never return unto you void, but that it will absolutely always accomplish everything that you have sent it forth to do. So we bless you today, Father, and we say thank you. Hallelujah. We magnify your holy and we magnify your righteous name. And there is nobody, there's absolutely nobody like you. Thank you. So, Father God, have your way today. Have your way. You're the potter. We're the clay. Mold us and make us after your will while we are waiting, yielding, and still. Thank you, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, Father God, as you taught your disciples to pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thine will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, thine is the glory, and thine is the power, both now and forever. And our soul says amen, amen, and amen again. We will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in our mouths. We like to say good morning, 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 good morning. Welcome, welcome back to the Life of Jesus Kingdom Ministries with Jesus Christ. He is the Lord. Jesus Christ, he is our Savior. Jesus Christ, he is our friend. Glory be to God. Jesus Christ, he is absolutely, absolutely everything. Amen unto us. Amen. I am Pastor Alfreda, amen, out of the Philadelphia area. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And it is my pleasure to be in the service of the Lord one more day. We want to welcome all of our first-timers. If this is your first time with us, greetings, 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 greetings. Amen. You have come to the right place at the right time. We pray that you will enjoy the services on today to the extent that you keep coming back. We meet here 7 days a week. God does not give us a day off. Amen. But we thank God anyhow. Amen. It was 6 days a week at this hour and then back on Sundays at 12 noon for our Sunday brunch. Amen. Glory be to God. So have a seat at the table. Amen. The breakfast is about to be served. Amen. The breakfast for champions. Amen. Hallelujah. Spiritual breakfast for champions. Hallelujah. A man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Amen. Not only do we have this service, amen, we have an altar prayer. Amen. Monday through Fridays, you can call in 2 times a day. Amen. We will pray with you, pray for you. Glory be to God. Wednesday night Bible study. Hallelujah. Wednesdays at 8 p.m. We have our Friday night praise party every other Friday night at 9 p.m. And we also have our TV channel. Glory be to God. Where we're on 24/7 on our TV channel. And we have the early morning prayer on social media, 5 a.m. Amen, social media. So that's I think that's it. If I'm missing anything, you can visit our webpage at lifewayjesus.org, lifewayjesus.org, and find out more about our ministry in the name of the Lord. All right, we pray that you have been enjoying the services all this week. Oh, wow, it's been a good week. It's been a good week. It's been a fruitful week. Amen. We got a lot done this week. Glory be to God. And then let me see, who did we hear from besides myself? I think I did the majority this week. We had a couple cancellations this week. Amen. And Pastor Erica came in on with us. Amen. We want to thank God for Pastor Erica. Amen. Glory be to God. And to God be all the praise, and to God be all the glory, and to God be all the honor. Amen. So we bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. All right, today we want to continue. Amen. We want to, amen, hear a little bit about Eli. Amen. I think I see a familiar number. I think our elaborator, our teacher, amen, is on the line. Amen. Sometimes, amen, glory, I don't get nervous, amen, but sometimes, like, when I'm tired, and then people cancel at the last minute without any consideration. People just cancel without any consideration. And then, you know what I mean, when someone else is going to teach, I take just a teeny step back, because I just a little breather, okay, I don't have to minister today. And then when they don't show up, then I just got to pounce back and jump in like nothing ever happened. And that's what the Bible means, beloved, when it says be always ready. Be always ready. Just be ready. Just come ready to minister, even if you don't have to minister. Amen. Look, if y'all came up the way I came up, glory be to God, you never know when you have to bring a word. Amen. You get to church, amen, and hey, you up today. I'm up what? You up to teach. What? What? You know, some people, you got to give them 3 months' notice. Some people, you got to give a 3 months notice to minister. That's crazy. That's crazy. You know what that goes to show? You don't have nothing in you. You don't have nothing in you, because if you step in and they say, hey, sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so, can you come give a word? Amen. You should be able to go into the bathroom or go into a quiet place, have a conversation with the Lord. Amen. And allow the Holy Spirit to pull something up. And if it ain't but a few words, and sometimes you think it's a few words, but it end up being a whole lot of words, amen, glory be to God. And so then allow the Holy Spirit to minister through you, but that's only when you have something in you. That's only when you have some love. If you're not meditating, if you're not praying, if you're not reading, amen, then, you know, if you're empty, you're empty. You're empty. But this is what Brother David meant when he said, Lord, hide your word in my heart. See, if it's in there, see, even when you think you forgot, even when if it's in there, it's in there. And if you're putting something in, you can if you're making a deposit into your savings account, checking account, you can go to the bank and make a withdrawal. See, but if you show up at the bank to make a withdrawal, but you haven't made any deposits, they're going to escort you out of there. Oh, God is so good. Isn't he, saints? He is so good. Amen. And to God be praised. All right. I've been out in that heat all this week. All this week I've been out in the heat, and one day it sort of got to, came close, amen, because one of my driver, amen, I was escorted all this week, hallelujah, and my driver's car was towed, and it was towed illegally. And so we was out there in that heat straightening all that out, and it zapped all of my energy. It just zapped me. I couldn't do the 5 o'clock Facebook. It just zapped me. Amen. But I was here at 6 o'clock though. Amen. I'm always here at 6 o'clock. Amen. Because this is the first baby that the Lord gave us 12 years ago. All right, we bless the Lord. Coming to us this morning, amen, all the way from Delaware, amen. We want to thank God for this faithful woman of God, amen, hallelujah. She is an ordained deacon in the church, amen. She is an armor bearer, amen. She is faithful to the cause, amen, hallelujah. She is in it to win it, amen. She's a woman of a word. She says she's going to do it, she's going to do it, and she's going to do more than what's required, amen, glory be to God. She sort of remind me of myself, amen, glory be to God. Sort of remind me of myself. I know, glory be to God, when I was coming up, and I still don't have no problem with it, even as an apostle, you know what I mean? I would come to church, I would clean the church. Okay, I would come on Saturday night. I would make sure the church was clean for Sunday. Amen. Some Sunday mornings, I would be the transportation driver. I would hop in the van. I'm all around the city picking up folks. Amen. To bring them to church. Then when I got to church, maybe I had to teach a Sunday school or whatever. Amen. Glory be to God. And then after church, if we had two services, I was serving tables. Glory be to God. Making sure everybody has something to eat. Wherever they needed me, and did it without mumbling or grumbling. Did it without, well, can I get a pay or stipend? Did it as unto the Lord. Amen. Let me tell you something, beloved. When you work for God, God will work for you. Amen. And she reminds me of myself. She reminds me of myself, amen, just so free in her service, amen, free in her prayer. I mean, this woman here is a prayer warrior. My God, I mean, she gonna pray heaven down into your situation. Amen, amen, amen. She is a giver, amen. She is a wife. She is a mother, she is a grandmother, she is a friend, and so we just want to thank God for her. I'm talking about none other than our deaconess, Hattie Cooper, amen, and she's going to come to us this morning, amen, and speak to us a little bit on the priest, the high priest, amen, Eli is his name, amen, and so we blessed be the name of the Lord. All right, good morning, Deacon Hattie, are you there?
Good morning, can you hear me, Pastor?
Yes, we hear you, God bless you,
good
and thank
morning.
You for serving today.
Good morning, I wanted to cancel out, believe me, but when I'm obligated, and that's just the God in me. I really tried to come up with a lot of excuses, too, but the Holy Spirit wouldn't let me.
Nevertheless, I understand.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning to everyone Praise be to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This morning, Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all that you've done and all that you're going to do, Lord God, for us, Lord. You're so sweet. You're so pleasant. You're so kind, and you're so faithful. And we give you all the thanks and the glory and the praise and all the honor, Father, for just having mercy upon us, Lord Jesus. And we just want to be grateful to you, Father. And we thank you for this woman of God, Apostle Pastor Bradford. In Jesus' name, we thank you for her. In Jesus' name, Father God, we just thank you for everybody on the line this morning. I'm going to come before you. In Jesus' name we pray. Come before you with the book of Eli. The book of Eli, it has a lot going on in it and all, but just going to elaborate on some of the things that went on in this book. A matter of fact, this book had me crying. It really literally had me crying because of the fact that this Eli was a high priest who served for 40 years as a judge in Israel in Shalom in the temple. Very high priest, very known. He was a good priest. He was, very known. He loved the Lord. He wanted to serve God faithful. But he had two wicked sons, Hophra and, I can't pronounce the other name. I'm just going to say P. Phinehas or whatever, I can't pronounce his name. Well, anyway, he has two sons. And they were serving in the tabernacle, but they didn't know the Lord. 1 Samuel 2:12, they volunteered the law by keeping and eating. They violated the law by keeping and eating meat from the sacrifices, and they were very wicked. They had, actually, they looked like twins. They was very wicked. They had sex with women who served at the doorway of the tents and the tent meetings, 1 Samuel 2:22. Their behavior was outrageous, just outrageous. They just did not care. They disregard everything, even with God. They just didn't care. Eli's sons was well known. They was well known. You know, the report had came back to Eli of what they were doing, having sex and doing whatever. And when the report came back to Eli, Eli told them, he rebuked them, but he failed to do anything to stop them. Eli still allowed his sons to continue in their position, 1 Samuel 2:22. Somewhere Eli lost his zeal. His heart was with his sons and not with God. I guess Eli loved his children just that much, you know. In any instant, God had to deal with them. God sent a prophet to deliver a message concerning Eli's household. God will cut off the priest's house because of all of this wicked stuff that Eli's sons was doing. God did not like it because they didn't even like God, because they really didn't like God. They didn't care. They just had sex. They ate the sacrifice of the meat. They was just disobedient, just had terrible behavior. So you can imagine how the high priest had felt about the sons. But I never understood why Eli did not remove his sons, knowing that he did this and knowing that he was hurting the people of God and the people of Israel. So God got like really, really like angry with them, and it caused God to cut and shorten the life of them. He said that to Eli, you know, to Eli, that his house were no longer, the people of his house would no longer reach an old age at all. So what happened to the sons, God had sent them a sign, and he was telling them that they both was going to die, that Eli's sons was going to die, and they was going to die on the same day. And it was a curse, because they brought the curse upon their lives. A lot of times we think God do this stuff to us, but God doesn't do this, these things to us. We do these things to ourselves. And by Eli being a high priest, and he allowed that to happen, it's like contaminated the tabernacle. So when he said that both his sons was going to die, that's 1 Samuel 2:31-34. And it brought like the curse, a terrible curse to the Levites, because the Levites depended on the priesthood for their living. 1 Samuel 2:36. Eli's family line would be cut off, literally cut off. And it wasn't because of Eli. It was because of his children and what he allowed his children to do. But he suffered because of his children, but the children suffered more because he had no control over them, none whatsoever. And he loved them just that much, not to remove them at all. So God said, okay, I guess you won't remove them. I'll send someone else. I'll just send someone else that's going to another faithful priest. So God raised up another faithful priest who would do according to what's in his heart and mind. And it reminds me of you, Pastor, when you tell us, be a Christian in your heart. Like, don't say you're a Christian. Be a Christian. Be a Christian in your heart. Think like God. Be like God. Act like God. So by his sons wouldn't do it, and Eli didn't remove them from their position, so God couldn't really use them anymore. So God did establish a new priest, and come to find out the new priest was Hannah's son, the barren Aaron, Hannah. Everybody know about Hannah. Hannah couldn't have a son. Hannah and Peniah, I guess her name is. The one wife had the children, the other one didn't. And what come to find out, it was Hannah's son that God had raised up to be in the priesthood again, a new anointed one that would, you know, stand up for his people. So God raised him up. His name was Samuel, and he was dedicated to the tabernacle. His mother's name was Hannah, the barren woman. Eli was the one that prayed for Hannah to have the child. She was in his presence, and he prayed for her, and he told her to go in peace, that God would grant her the child, and which that he did. He granted the child, and then that child, Samuel of Hannah's, ended up bringing a word to Eli. And Hannah, his mother, We know that she dedicated him to God. She would bring him a robe every year. She would bring him a new robe. She would bring him a new robe. And that's in Samuel 2:19. And come to find out, Samuel Hannah's son was living with Eli. And in his older days, Eli became old. He couldn't see and whatever. And the Lord had spoke to Samuel in the middle of the night. And Samuel thought that it was Eli calling him, but it wasn't Eli calling him. It was God calling him. God had called him like three times, I believe. Yeah, about three times. And he thought it was Eli. Eli said, "That's not me. I'm not calling you." He said, "Go back to sleep. If you hear the voice again, answer him, because it's God." And wish that he did. God did speak to him again. And he said, Eli told him, "When God speak to you, just say, 'Speak to me, Lord. Speak to me.'" So he did speak to him. And when he did speak to Samuel, you know, he came into his room and stood in his room and everything. That's in Samuel 3:10. And he had told Samuel that he had to deliver a message to Eli and prophesy to Eli and tell Eli that he was going to bring judgment to his house. And Eli didn't want him to lie to him. He wanted him to tell the truth. So he did tell him, and he wanted him to bring the prophecy to him. But Eli said that he humbly accept God's decree, you know, and he confirmed what it was and wished that it was sad, actually. And after he told him, he said shortly after that, he told him that judgment will be put upon his house. And the judgment was put upon his house with so that the Philistines that came against Israel to attack them, his two sons, Hophni and Phi, his other brother, the two sons, and they went to battle, and the battle with them, they took and bought the covenant of the ark with them, which that they guarantee protection against their enemies. But God wasn't with those boys. God wasn't with those boys. Those boys went out there. They went to fight among like 30,000 soldiers of Israel, in addition to the ark captured by the Philippines. And they lost that battle. They both died. Both his sons died. They died in a battle on the same day as God said that they would die. Eli heard about it, and when he heard about the bad news, he fell off of his seat, and his neck was broken. He was old, and he was heavy. That's 1 Samuel 4:3-10, 17-18. And in the meanwhile, Eli's daughter-in-law was pregnant with Phinehas's baby. The wife was pregnant. She went into labor, and she died during the labor. But she named the son. She named the son, and it was saying, and it it's I-C-H-A-B-O-D, saying, "The glory has departed from us, depart from Israel." And Eli had another son had a grandson that was born of death and defeated, was given a name meaning no glory, no glory. So God, the judgment fell upon them very, very heavy upon Eli's house because of the sins of his sons. And because those boys, they were some bad boys. They refused to repent. They didn't repent, you know, because they thought that they had it like that. Their father was a high priest. You know, they had it going on. You know, they had people was falling because of them, you know, and they were in adultery, fornication. They was thieves. They mistreated God's people. They disregarded what their father said. They just didn't care. They just didn't care. They just wanted to do their own will. And I can imagine their father, how he felt embarrassed of them and all, because they were so disobedient. And because of the power that they had, they thought that they could just rule everything and everybody. And they were married. But then after a while, eventually, God just got tired. He just got tired of their ways, and God's patience just ran out, completely ran out with them. And the Lord punished them for their sins. So to say all of this to go into Eli, what we can learn from Eli's experience is how to raise our children or our grandchildren, if our children are already grown and raised, and some of these children are already taught of the Lord, know the Lord. But if they don't have the Holy Spirit and know who the Lord is, then they will fall in a trap. They will fall in a situation because of their discipline. And we should learn as parents to discipline our children and our grandchildren and not neglect disciplining them, because it can bring judgment upon our houses, our homes. And it goes from generation to generation. And we have to teach them at an early age before they fall into a trap. Teach them obedience. Teach them self-control. Teach them not to have acts of sins. Teach them to obey their parents, to obey the elder people. Because what it says in Isaiah 5:13, my children are taught of the Lord. And greater is their peace. If they are taught of the Lord, greater are their peace. Because God, he disciplined us. He disciplined the ones that he loved and chastised everyone who accept his son. In Hebrews 12:6. But that's only if you God's children. Because everybody isn't God's children. We all God's creation. He created us all. But we all don't love him. That's what happened to the two brothers, to the Eli's sons. They did not like him. They contentment. They despise him. It disgusts them to take up the rules and the regulations that their father had of being a priest. And they were themselves. They didn't care. They just didn't care. In the house of God, we have to be very, very careful of how we treat God's people, how we treat God. I think over here where it says, where is that at, in Jesus' name, where he says that children. But the one who loves their children is careful to discipline. That's in Proverbs 13:24. And we should never fail to discipline our children or correct them. They will and can bring judgment to our house. If someone sins against, like here says, if Eli said to his sons, if someone sins against a man, God will mediate for him. But if someone sins against the Lord, who can intercede for him? Question. We also as parents afford to cover up our children's sins and their wickedness and their behavior. But there's nothing that we can do for them if they refuse to repent to God. We cannot repent to God for them. They have to repent to God, go to God, and repent for themselves, repent for their wrongdoings, repent for their sins, repent for their wickedness. We can love these children from the sun up, from the sky to the earth. If they don't acknowledge who God is and if they don't love God and they don't serve God, we cannot repent for them. They have to repent for themselves. They have to find God for themselves. Sure, we love them. We cannot put them ahead of God. We cannot love them more than God. The scriptures, what is Matthew, where God said, if you're not my disciple, you cannot be my disciple. If you don't hate mother, sister, or brother, you cannot be my disciples. And he said, if we lay down our life for him, we will find life. If we keep our life, we will lose our life. And just like nowadays in society with our children today, and when I say children, our children, I'm talking about children all over the world, because if you ain't Christ, they your children too. If they robbing, killing, stealing, they still our children. They're not our biological children. But when we in Christ, God said, love your enemies, love everybody. And some of the children nowadays and some of the households, people do not believe that God would bring wrath or God would bring wrath and God would bring judgment upon your house. And that's what's going on now, too. And nowadays, it's a lot of judgment going on. And the things that we did, our children did, our forefathers did, our generation before us and all. And some of that stuff fell upon us. And we have to pray that stuff off of us. We have to go to court in Christ Jesus' court, because Satan take us to court. He took Job to God and asked him, can he have him or do whatever he wanted to do to Job? So sometimes in our life, when we go through problems and situations, we have to find out what judgment that's upon our life. What judgment is upon our children's life? What judgment that we might be married to someone, they might have a judgment on them. We need to know what's going on around us in the spirit world. I know everybody don't love God, everybody don't serve God or whatever the case may be, but people have judgment. And that's what I got out of Eli. And I said, Pastor, give me this, you know. And I could do a little bit more research on it, but, you know, life sometimes get in the way or your distraction. But what I got out of it is that judgment. judgment will be set upon our households of what we do, how we do it, when we do it, what we do for God, what we do for God people, what, how we act, how we treat our fellow men, and how we treat God most of all. How do we love him? How do we treat him? Do we really love him? Do we treat him? Father, do I have a judgment upon my house, on my children? I mean, some of our children murder other children in the streets, and some of these children sitting at your kitchen table. Some of these parents, God forbid, that then murder your son, and they then ate at your table. They then slept in your bed. Some parents know that their children selling drugs. Some parents know that their children is fornicating. Some people know that their children is in same-sex marriage. Some people know that your husband or your wife is an adulteress. Some people know that this person don't love God. It goes on and on and on. It really makes you think. It really made me think. It really made me literally cry. My heart went out to know that I literally cried when I read this, and it went into my soul, my spirit, and my mind to God, am I living right? Am I doing right? Am I holding my children up in the wrong? Father, Eli didn't really want to hold his children. He was in the middle. Seemed like he was in the middle of loving God and loving his kids. He had to make a choice. And if he didn't make a choice, God made a choice for him. Of course he didn't want his children to act like that or do those things enough, but he still didn't do anything else about it. Either he just said something. He didn't reinforce it. But if he did, he still couldn't make them do anything anyway because they have their own mind. But that led to a generation of curse. And not just Eli's family, a whole nation that was torn down. So we have to be very careful in the walk that we walk, the walk that we think we walk in. We have to be, the old people used to say, be sure, be very sure. And not only that, unforgiveness plays a big part. If you don't forgive your brother, God said he will not forgive you. He would turn his back on you. You die and get to heaven, and he said, you still mad at your husband. You still mad at your wife. You still mad at your sister. You still mad at your brother. You didn't forgive them for what they said or what they did. And bring judgment upon your house, upon your children, and upon you. This thing really got to me. Just for me to search my heart, to search my soul. I'm sorry, y'all, forgive me. This really got to me to know, to say that I'm a Christian, to say that I walk with God, to know, am I really? To see some of the stuff that my children do, some of the stuff that they do and act and all, am I condoning it? Lord, it made me search my heart. Father, help me. Have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon them. And I have always said in my house, God, please don't bring wrath. Please. Because if you see the actions, you see what's going on, you see. And now this really, really touched my heart to know that he will and he can because he's God and he's sovereign. And he wants us to live right and to do right. He does not want us in sin. He does not want us to be wicked. He does not want us to hurt each other. He do not want us to hurt our brother or our sister. He do not want us to rape people, kill people, steal from people. He doesn't want us to put our children or any materialistic thing before him. Our children and our wives do and husbands, nothing comes before the Lord, thy God Almighty. I'm sorry, y'all. I got to close off, but in my closing, Jesus, have mercy. Have mercy, God. Have mercy upon us all. Please, God, have mercy upon everybody on this line and in our household and upon our children. Help us, God. Help us to live right. Help us to live righteous, Lord. And wherever we not, Father God, please don't bring judgment to our households. Help us to get it right. And one way we can do this is fearing God more than man. God's promise and his conditions. God will punish and can impart generations. He will do just that because he can. Well, I'm going to close off now in the name of the Father, Son, and the precious Holy Ghost, Father. Jesus, help. Father, bless everyone on this line in the name of Jesus Christ, Father God. Give us all peace, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Father, touch every parent, every grandparent, every child, every niece, every nephew, aunts, uncles, cousins, friends, from generation to generation, Father God. Don't let us take anything for granted. Don't let us take you for granted, Father God. And Father God, if we are among any of these things, Father, please take it away from us and show us your way, Father God, your way. Father God, give us your heart, give us your mind and your soul. Don't let us think anything more important than your word and in your darling Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Let the Lord bless and keep you, keep me, make your space to shine upon you, shine upon me, and be gracious unto me, and be gracious unto you. Lord, lift up your countenance upon me, upon you, and give me peace, and give you peace in Jesus' name. Back to you, Pastor. In Jesus' name.
Amen, 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 amen. We want to thank God this morning for a very compelling word, amen, on Eli. Eli, the man who lacked parental authority, amen. The man, amen, who loved his children more than he loved God, amen. A man who brought judgment on his house because of his children, beloved. And we want to thank God for this very compelling word. Don't let your children send you to hell.
Your children will send you to hell.
Don't let your children send you to hell. Don't let your children send you to hell. Don't allow judgment to come upon your house because of your children.
Because of your children.
Now, we can't control what they do when they over 18, but under 18, I'm telling you, and some of these children in court today, amen, under the age, their parents need to be sitting up in court with them. Their parents need to be on trial with these minor children. Beloved, don't let your children stay in hell. That's the bottom line. God killed Eli.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Because of his son's sins. The God is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. We are responsible. We are responsible. I was sharing with my Uber driver on yesterday. He was sharing with me about how he used to whip his children I don't know. That was a long conversation. But the thing is this, like I told him, there's a difference between discipline and abuse. There's a difference between discipline and abuse. God, amen, he confirms that we discipline our children. He who spares the rod spoils the child. See? And the Bible tells us, because if you don't discipline your children, guess what? The penitentiary is going to discipline them. The graveyard is going to discipline them. Oh, you best believe they're going to be disciplined. They're going to be disciplined. But we love our children so much, and we send them. And not only that, I think the reason that the Lord is so strong about this, because not only you go to hell, you're sending your children to hell. You're not teaching them no respect for authority. That's what's wrong with our world today. We know it's police abuse. We know that all policemen are straight. But my question is this: Why can't you just be submissive? If they say put your hands up, why can't you put your hands up? If they say get out the car, why can't you just get out the car?
Mm-hmm.
See. So, beloved, we want to thank God for this very, very compelling message. It speaks for itself. It's worth we hearing. Amen. Share it with some of your family and friends today when we post it on social media. Amen. Because they need to hear it. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. The man who lacked parental authority because he loved his children more than he loved God. Let me ask you a question as we close this morning. Who do you love more than you love God? Who do you love? Your spouse? You an error. Your children? You an error. Your parents? You an error. Your money? You an error. Yourself? You an error. Your job? You an error. And guess, listeners, let me lay this on you. We got to close. Anything you love more than God, you're going to lose. You're going to lose it. Because God is a jealous God, and he said, have no other gods before me. God is the God with the big G. Our family, our friends, the other stuff are gods with a small G. He don't mind you having the small G. But when you try to put the small G before the big G, you're in trouble. And Eli, amen, story is a very, very good example of that. Amen. Isn't that something? He was a good man, though. He was a good man. Amen. He was a faithful man. He just had his priorities out of order. He loved his children more than he loved God.
Yep, he loved his children more than he loved God.
Thank you, Deacon. Thank you for that very compelling message. And it causes us to check ourselves this morning.
Whew.
You know, who do we love more than God?
Yep.
Who do we love? Some of us love our churches more than we love God.
Mm-hmm.
We love our pastors more than we love God. I don't think we know what it means to love God. Maybe we'll come back next week and break that down for you, because a lot of folks got it twisted. A lot of folks got it twisted. Amen. In Jesus' name. God bless you. God bless. Any announcements? Any announcements, my sister, before we give the benediction?
No amount. Announcement. Can you pray, if you have time, to pray for my husband and I and his family? We're going to Virginia for safe travels and all go well.
Absolutely.
I have no... Yes. Can you pray for that for me? And that's about it. You know, God is good. He's able. And that message really got to me. I'm like, you always give me something that relates to my life. Something in there always relates to my life. So I thank God, because it keeps me abroad. It keeps me awake. It keeps my soul and my spirit, keeps it humble to know, watch yourself. That's what I can get out of it, your message that you give me to do. Like I said, I just thank God for today. Thank God for you and all the folks on the line. you know, I have no announcements right now, but just keep me and my family in prayer. And I just thank you for giving me this opportunity to be a witness for the Lord.
Amen. You're welcome. Amen. And his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. I get that twisted, but it's Phinehas. Yeah, Phinehas. Yes. And the wife who had the baby, it was Ichabod, the glory of the Lord.
Ichabod. God has, God had left from us. So we don't never want God present or the Holy Spirit. Like David said, don't take the Holy Spirit away from me. I know what he mean by, I know what he mean now.
Amen.
Amen.
God help
thank
us all.
You.
You're welcome.
Yes, God help us all. We all need it.
Yeah, we all need
and
help.
Half of the time, Pastor say this, and half of the time, the kids don't even care about you. They don't care about you. And you do all of this for them, and half the time you have an issue and a problem with them.
That's the truth. And the ones you do the most for is the ones that give you, that do the less for you.
Yes. Yep. That is so true. You know, and the one that you think going to be there for you, don't be the one that's going to be there for you.
Exactly.
That's so weird. So
Exactly. We have to be very careful.
Yes, we have to be very careful.
Do it the Lord's way and we're going to be okay. Just do it the Lord's way. Don't we
do it his way. It's no other way.
But you cannot love your children more than you love God.
You can't love your children more than you love God.
You can't love nobody.
You can. You can't.
Self more than you love God.
Nothing is supposed to come before God. Nobody.
That's
that thing touched my heart so bad. I said, wow, it had me to think. Lord Jesus.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. I'm going to pray safe travels for you and your family as you travel to Virginia. And
yes,
Jesus, amen. God bless you again and thank you for serving.
You're welcome.
Amen. We've been listening. Thank you. To our deacon, Hattie Cooper, amen. We want to thank God, amen, for her faithfulness in the Lord's kingdom, amen, and the Lifeway Jesus Kingdom Ministries, amen. Beloved, we want to thank God for this beautiful service, soul-searching, soul-piercing message, amen, on Eli. Glory be to God. Also, we want to thank each and every one of you for serving this week in the ministry. God bless all of our faithful intercessors, prayer intercessors. Thank you for serving. Thank you. Amen. Thank all those who came forth with the word this week, our Pastor Erica, amen, and our Deacon Hattie. Glory be to God. I don't think I'm leaving anybody else out. I think amen. I did the balance of the week. Amen. We want to thank God for each and every one of you. Amen. We just want to say thank you. Thank you for those who have sold into the ministry financially. God bless you. Amen. Thank you for all of our social media early morning partners. Amen. Thank you for being there with us, touching and agreeing. Amen. So and all of our audience around the world, we notice we have some new people in Canada. Amen. If you're listening, amen. Welcome. And to all of you around the world, amen. We just want to say thank you, amen, for being here. And we pray that you are blessed, and we pray that you will keep on coming back, amen, as we endeavor, amen, to do the will of the Lord, amen, for the glory of the Lord, amen. We're praying that everybody have a good weekend. We don't know what it's like in your part of the world, but we know over here in the East Coast, it's been extremely hot, extremely hot. Plenty of fluids. Amen. Think cool, walk cool, be cool. Amen. In Jesus' name. And remember this, that when you do go out, this is a good time to testify and witness, and we can let people know that there's a place hotter than this. There's a place hotter than this. It's called hell, H-E-L-L. Amen. And anybody who does not accept Jesus accepts hell. Amen. And that's exactly where they're going, amen, and it's not God's will for them to go there, amen. So we can use this hot weather, amen, as an entrance to testify, amen, and witness, amen, to somebody, amen, and put a smile on the Lord's face because he is counting on all of us, amen, to be a witness, amen, of his goodness. Amen and amen. All right, all right, all right. We bless the Lord. We bless the Lord. We bless the Lord. Amen. Father God, we want to say thank you for this service today. Thank you for the service all week. Father, thank you for giving us the strength. Thank you for giving us the willpower. Thank you for giving us the energy to come and to partake at the breakfast table. Father God, we thank you for each and every person, Father God. Not only them, Father God, but their families, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the word of God that will never return unto you void, but it will always accomplish everything that you have sent it forth to do. Father, we bless you, we magnify you, we glorify you, and we praise your name forever and forever. Father God, as our Deacon Hattie and her husband and other family members endeavor, Father God, for their trip to Virginia. Father God, we ask that you would go before them and send the way, clear the way. We ask that you would release your angels, Father God, to provide unto them traveling road mercies, Father God. Cancel every spirit of accident, incident, calamity, road rage, Father, mechanical malfunctions, Father God, anybody getting sick on the way, Father God, cancel all of that. We put that all under the blood of Jesus right now, Father, that they will have a safe and a fun trip, a good time there, Father God, without accidents or incidents, and a good time and a safe trip home, and to find all well when they come back. Father God, this is our prayer for our Deacon Hattie and her family and for everybody traveling, Father God. We know that our sister Denise is traveling, our sister Estelle is traveling. Bless them and anybody else, God, hallelujah, you see, you know, if they give them, Father, traveling, if they get on that plane, Father God, may the angels carry that airplane over the airwaves. They get in that car, get them traveling mercy on the road, on the train, on the buses, however they're traveling, Father. We just pray your mercies and your grace, and we thank you for it, Father, for canceling bad news. We will get no evil news, no evil reports, Father, all because of you. And we say thank you. Thank you. Father, give us a good day today. Help us not to be in the right place at the wrong time. Some people are having outdoor events today. Father, help them to be so careful. Help them to be so careful, Father God, with these outdoor events, without the proper shading, and, Father God, without the proper ventilation, whatever, Father, just we pray mercy, not just because of the heat, but because, Father God, folks want to be cowboy and Indians. They want to show off when they see a crowd. They just want to pick up their gun and start target shooting. Father God, it's the devil. It's the devil. And, Father God, we ask that you would breathe on all this today, Father. Breathe on all this. And we, Father God, we pray for the grieving families. They're still hurt because of the death of their loved ones. Father, that number seems to be increasing day by day by day. Father, we pray for these families, Father, and we lift them up for your comfort in Jesus' name. Father, remember the children. Remember the children. Some children are growing up, Father God, without discipline. They're seeking discipline, but they're not getting discipline. And they're learning it from the wrong way. Their guardians are not teaching them, even though they have a responsibility. They're spoiling the children rotten. Father God, they don't know that you can love a child without spoiling a child. Father God, and these children, Father God, when I was in the store yesterday, Father, and the lady, God, remember that lady who beat them children up verbally yesterday as I was standing in that line, calling the children stupid, calling the children dumb. I mean, she beat them children up. Then had the nerve to look at me and wanted me to co-sign. And I told her, no. I said, I don't call my children stupid. And all the children looked at me like they was reaching out for help. Glory, I said, I don't call my children stupid. I said it right in the dollar store. Everybody could hear me. Glory be to God. I said, children need prayer, children need love, and children need guidance. I said, they don't need you calling them stupid and belittling them. I thank God that I had the Holy Ghost boldness to talk to that lady since she pulled me in her conversation. That gave me an opportunity. I said, children need to be embraced with a godly embrace. They don't need to be called stupid and dumb. So, Father God, you see that lady, whoever she was, Father God, Father, her attitude changed right away. Then she started agreeing with me. Yeah, you're right. Children need love. God, continue to move in our hearts and in those children. Well, I don't know. If she treated those children like that in public, ain't no telling how she's treating those children in private. And so, Father God, as many children in that same situation, in that same situation, we pray for the babies. We pray for the children. Father, parents got air conditioning in their bedroom and got the children in a room with no air conditioner and no fan, or if they got a fan blowing hot air, who can do that? Who can do that? Who can live in comfort and air and have the children, Father God, stuck up together in a crowded bedroom with a hot fan blowing? And some of them don't even have a fan. Father God, you see, if walls could talk, Father God, it would tell the story. The walls don't have to talk because you see everything. We pray for these children. We pray for these families. Some of these children see a hard way. They treat the children any kind of way and then want the children to act another way. And they're not even role models to the children. Oh, Father, they expect more than what they're pouring into them. Father God, we pray for the children mentally abused, sexually abused, physically abused, Father God. Then they're growing up as monsters. They're growing up, they have hatred in their heart, unforgiveness in their heart, and we're wondering why. They're just responding, Father God, to what they have been served. We pray for them. Like I told that lady in the store yesterday, I mean, these children need prayer because the devil has a contract on these children. The devil wants them, and he's getting so many of them, only because we have dropped the ball in our parental responsibilities. Forgive us, and now forgive our children. Help us all, Father. Help us to want to do the right thing. And we say thank you and we bless you. God, as we go out today, help us not to be in the right place at the wrong time. We cancel bad news, tears, and sorrow, Father, in Jesus' name. Meet us back here tomorrow for our Sunday service, Father, in the name of Jesus. Restore us, refill us, revive us, renew us. And we will continue to give your name praise, glory, and honor. We bind absolutely every spirit of retaliation in the name of the Father, the Son, and the precious Holy Ghost. And we seal this prayer, seal this service by the word, the blood, and the spirit. Cast it at the feet of Jesus to decree and declare, cannot and will not, and it shall not be broken. Thank you, Father God, that Satan is defeated. The darkness is dispelled. And Jesus Christ, he is the King of Kings. And Jesus Christ, he is the Lord of Lords. Amen and amen. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Thank you for your prayers for me. And we can pray for you. We pray for one another. And Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Everybody have a good, good day and a good, good weekend. Amen. In Jesus' name. Love you. Pastor Alfreda, Philadelphia. Amen. Signing out. Amen. God bless you.
Would you just slip one hand up and say, Lord, you are welcome in this place. Now lay your hands on yourself. For the Bible says, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost?
and the Spirit of God dwells in you. I want you to lay your hands upon yourself and say, Lord, you are welcome in this place. Say it again, Lord, you are welcome in this place. Now just lift your hands and receive his glorious presence. Kurt, come help me, son. Sing this. Lord,